Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Prism Radio. This is, I believe, my 105th radio show with Prism Radio. And super excited with some friends going to join us tonight. And that's Rachel and Barbara Leiter. And we're going to talk about Rachel's transitioning journey. I know that's traditionally been Julie's role as far as journeys, but I think it's kind of appropriate for the whole Trans Women National Radio Show to talk about the journeys that we all are taking. And, of course, as a married couple, the journeys that they've, the experiences they've had as they have gone through this transitioning experience. Rachel has been transitioned in a marriage, in a family, and on the job, and let alone like the rest of us, we transition socially, legally, physically, and all those other things just adds more issues to it. And Rachel's involved some other things. She is the CFO of Trans Women National and is involved in some other things we're going to talk about here as we get going. But so we have Rachel and Barbara. They're both on the phone. Hey there, ladies. How are you all?
We're doing good, Holly.
Good, 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 good. So I was going to talk about trans unity, and I'm going to say this again. As you both know me pretty good, I rarely don't express myself. So I've been really, really frustrated with the lack of unity inside the transgender community. And the anger, the hate, I posted something about that just a little while ago. And just been really, really frustrated. And over the last week when I scheduled that show, I'm thinking, what am I going to talk about? I can just get on a rant and rave about how stupid we are and how bad we are as far as we hate each other and we condemn each other and all kinds of stuff. And as I kept thinking, I don't, it's like all this drama, and I'm thinking, well, I don't really want to talk about drama. That's kind of doing drama myself. So, so the last minute, and I know that we've talked about probably finishing Trans Women Radio, or at least putting it on hiatus for a while. So I wanted to make sure I got you both on here. So welcome to the show, and we'll start a little bit. Rachel, you are trans, you identify as a trans woman. And kind of give us the background as far as your transitioning early stages, what you've gone through with that, if you don't mind.
Not a problem. Of course, I'm almost 54 years old, so I grew up in the age of where we didn't talk about it in our younger years. We hid it from everybody. And that was always, that was wearing on me. Suffered depression all my life. Tried to take care of it, telling doctors and everybody that, you know, stress, work conditions, family, you name it, everything other than what it really was. When I got married to Barbara, I kept it a secret, and later in our relationship, I came out to her as cross-dressing. I think that's probably where we all start at some point in time. Mm-hmm. Mine at that point in time. I knew I was probably farther than that, but I didn't know how far I was going to take it. And at age 50. I told myself, and then I told Barbara, I said, I can't live like this anymore. I just need it. I need it to come out. I need it to live my life authentically, as far as who I really was. So at my 50th birthday, I made the decision to fully transition. Now, a little while before that happened, we had gone to some of the Siena meetings here in town,
mm-hmm.
which is the predecessor of TWN, and you know, found out I wasn't the only one here in Louisville. you know,
yeah.
I wasn't the only one living, you know, in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
But I also saw other people that, you know, were out, transition, working. So that gave me a boost of confidence. I came out to my family, first of all, and ended up living probably about 8 months or so, 9 months before I actually came out at work.
Mm-hmm.
The work transition was amazing. I talked to HR department in our organization, talked it over, discussed it, went to my manager and the general manager and discussed a transition plan. I left on a Thursday. They started telling everybody with the managers instead of letting it go the grapevine. And came back on Sunday morning to a completely same group of people. They didn't treat me any different. They had some questions. You know, a few of them had some questions. I very welcomely answered those. And but was very open, treated me the same. And I think that's all any of us really want, is to be treated the same after we come out as we were before we transitioned. So my work was a very successful transition. I had some bumps and everything in my personal transition. I still don't talk to my mom that much. Now, we did have a couple weeks ago, we did have some conversation and everything, so I haven't got back to her yet, and we'll be following up on that, but I didn't want to just really jump on immediately on that and
mm-hmm.
do too much, so...
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the transition goes, in the marriage, we've had our ups and downs. We've fought some. We've hugged a bunch. It came, you know, it's come down to questioning the other one on both our parts, I think. As far as you'd probably be better off without me, and you know, and that was on both of our parts at some point in another along the transition. I won't say it's an easy road. We still come to snags every once in a while 4 years later. So it's still a work in progress, but. A very strong work in progress.
Now, so I've been at your work, and is it okay, you think, to mention the company that you work for?
Yes. Yes, it's
yeah.
Fine. I work for Hyatt Corporation. I'd hope
yeah.
so.
So I've been there and multiple times with you, and I will say that, yeah, it's there. acceptance. Of course, we had our Trans Women National Banquet there, and the staff was all incredible the whole time. Extremely, not only extremely professional in all levels of just running a banquet, but dealing with a minority group of people that was obviously with the title of the banquet and things like that, that they handled it extremely well. At this point, I've not heard one peep of any negative words or anything said or misgendering or disrespect or anything. So I think not only was your transitioning such a positive experience for you for the most part at work, it's clear that Hyatt is doing it the right way. They understand what's going on. So my question is, when you there's a bunch of stuff as you are telling the story getting here, but we're going to a couple of things I want to get to is the moment that you decide you're going to transition at work, did you do research? Were you aware already? Did you go tations? Where was your understanding level for how the company would handle this?
Yeah, Hyatt runs an employee group on Facebook for the LGBT employees. This came out about 2 years before I transitioned. So I got on it without, you know, it was a Facebook closed group, so I could get on it without anybody at my work knowing I was on it unless they were on it. So if they were on it already, I was pretty comfortable with them knowing I was on it. And was, you know, got to hear what Hyatt did for their LGBT employees. How they treated them all across the world, because we have hotels in countries that aren't real friendly, but they still have the LGBT things at those hotels for the employees that are. So, you know, they may not be able to be themselves out in public, but at work they can be themselves, which is truly amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I pretty much knew that the diversity was there. They backed their employees. They did everything for them. We have transgender healthcare wrote specifically into our medical insurance. So, you know, with everything that I found out before, I felt very confident that they, you know, that the hotel, the corporation, and everybody there would back me up. And that's one of the first things they told all the employees when they told them is reminded them of the highest standards for for discipline and stuff. So they wanted to make sure, you know, everybody, if somebody was against it and everything, they knew that, you know, they made it clear that it would be them that would be leaving and not me if a big stink.
Yeah.
So that was nice to know.
Yeah.
They would stand behind me.
So on that topic, as far as the Hyatt, we actually haven't talked about yet, but it's been kind of assumed because of the banquet and because of the understanding of the policies. But for those that are listening, those that are trans, especially those that are living a dual life, and I refer to dual life these days more than cross-dressing because one of the things that exist in our community is, and I've said for many, many years, but we don't get a there's all these other things to talk about. We don't talk about this, but you basically have the labels or the definitions of cross-dresser, and then you have the label of transsexual. Transsexual essentially meaning, generally speaking, moving toward or has moved toward transitioning full-time, basically, and in a very general sense. Cross-dressers basically means that someone dresses up part-time, and it exists as that if it's a girl, a trans girl, exists as a girl sometimes. The thing is that it used to be cross-dressers were traditionally just in the home, completely in the closet. As you and I, as Barbara and you and I know, we have lots of friends that are technically cross-dressers, but they exist as a dual role in the community. They exist at lots of experiences as the female persona, but sometimes they are male and sometimes they're female. So kind of a bi-gender existence. And it's for those people, a lot of times they will travel because they will probably have an ID that is male, but presenting as female. So they will travel as John Doe, looking like John Doe per se on a driver's license, but they check into a hotel as Jane Doe. So it is your, is it, I assume it's your understanding, and I don't know if you've heard or written, but how would Hyatt deal with that as far as someone coming to the, they have a credit card and all this kind of stuff as John Doe, but they check in as Jane Doe? What's your understanding about that?
Well, they do. I can tell you for a fact they do a very good job. Right after I transitioned, Barbara and I took a trip. We stayed at three Hyatt hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when I check in, you know, it's still lay your ID down,
right,
and everything. And I went dressed as myself, as Rachel. Mm-hmm. I lived that entire trip as Rachel. I still had my male IDs with my old name on them.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets to the airport and all the room reservations in my old name.
Mm-hmm.
So I had absolutely no problem checking in at any of the hotels, not even not really even looks per se, because of course at that point in time, very new in my coming out, I'm looking for
right.
You know,
you're checking around,
anything.
Yeah.
So you know, the desk agents, the bellman, everybody that we came across, you know, to the restaurant staffs and all that stuff, that, you know, all saw my ID because I had to show it. Once we were in the hotel, I had to show it for my employee discounts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people saw that and saw that I was, you know, not presenting as that. Had no problem. I mean, they all greeted me as Miss Leiter, you know, from the first stop to the third stop till we got home. Right before that trip, I told my HR department, that was when I came out to HR. I said, you know, we're going on this trip, and I'm going as Rachel. So if any of these hotels call and say, you know, we have a woman checking in with a male ID, and they say, you know, they're trying to check in, I didn't want my hotel going, no, as far as I know. So, but no, we had absolutely no questions about it. Now we do cater a lot to the LGBT clientele. We actively go after their business. We advertise in LGBTQ magazines, and we also attend prides. So,
yeah.
You know, it is, we are actively seeking these people. So we do a very good job at handling the situations.
Right, right. So if anybody's listening, if they want to call in to talk to Rachel or Barbara or both, or if you got other things on your mind or whatever, you can call it 914-205-5655. If you're listening live, that phone number should be at the top of your screen. If you're listening archive, like after today is March 7th, if it's anything after March 7th, 2016, if you call, I probably won't be there. So, but if you can want to leave a message, send us a Facebook page, check us out. TransWomenNational.org is our website. You can send us a message there if you got any questions or comments for Rachel, Barbara, or myself and everything. So we're talking to Rachel and Barbara. We'll get to Barbara here in a second. And what I wanted to give her a chance to, of course, talk about her experience and from her perspective. But Rachel has transitioned. She's on her job. Things going pretty good there. And goes to tell, we could probably have a whole show on this part, is goes to talk to your mom. How did you tell your mom? And I know I know the story pretty good, but and what was the issue that she had with you?
Well, you know, we sat and talked to my mom. My daughter and her husband were out there at the time. They had popped in. I did not know they were coming out, but they popped in too. So I told all three of them at the same time. My daughter asked some questions. My mom just sat over there and listened to us. Mm-hmm. Didn't say a whole lot that day. But I got through my spiel. Angel asked some questions. There was a couple things said, and I asked Mom if she had any questions, and no, not really. I went out there a few more times. I was doing some work for her, and was finishing up a job at her place for her. And she never really wanted to talk about it. Each time I went out, of course, this is in my transition, so I'm letting my hair grow out. You know, my clothes are sort of changing and everything. So eventually we got to where we weren't going out there that much because she had just pretty much shut down. But we would go out there every once in a while, and when we would walk in, she always would have some remark about how I was dressed, or, you know, my hair getting longer, anything about the transition. And finally, one day, I walked up, and her door was locked, so I was trying to find my key to her house, and she had seen us drive in, and she had walked up and opened the door. And when she opened the door, she said, you know, she told me that, you know, I get worse looking every time I come out there to see her. And that really hurt.
Yeah.
Because I was actually going in the direction that I wanted to. So we had left that day, but we went out there I sat down with her a couple weeks later, tried to talk to her, really still wasn't saying a whole lot. And finally she came out and said that, you know, well, I was not being true to myself, and religious reasons, I was not right. I was going down a path that I shouldn't be going down, and all this is leaning towards the religion part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came down to where she finally said, "You're dead to me," as far as the person I want it to be, the person I was, my true person, who I really was. She couldn't see past the changes in the shell and see that I was still the same person that she had raised, brought up, did everything for her, you know, would probably still possibly go out there and do something if she, you know, had to have something done. But I just, you know, she told me she would not be seen out in public with me. And that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go out, you know, we enjoyed our times going out to dinner, you know, talking, you know, doing stuff with her. So, you know, pretty much at that point in time, I had no recourse. We left. We gave her a few months. I tried one more time, and it was pretty much that, you know, I was still dead to her. And if I wanted to change back, I would, you know, the old me would be more than welcome. But as far as she was concerned, the person I was didn't exist.
So when you when you told your mom you're sitting there, your daughter was there, was Barbara there with you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Barbara was there.
Was there a conversation? Barbara, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. So was there a conversation? Did she talk to you? Did she ask you questions? Were you involved in that?
No, yeah. She just sat there, and I let Rachel do the talking because I thought, well, her deal, you know, I'm involved,
yeah.
But it's for her. And but Elizabeth just shut down. I mean, she didn't want to hear anything about it or nothing.
Yeah.
She was
in
no way interested at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that have these preconceived notions of what transgender is, and clearly those preconceived notions are publicly on TV and in the news now that are being blown away. There are so many different variations of what trans is, and people are seeing it on a regular basis. And clearly, she probably perceived it as being a gay thing. And here you are sitting there with her, and you her. Now, again, from our perspective, it's probably a lesbian thing, but from her perspective, it's probably, all right, here's my so-called son is still with his daughter, his wife. So therefore, in her mind, it's not. You would think that well, maybe I got this all wrong. But probably shut down because of that.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, so that doesn't go good and kind of interesting enough. Of course, we won't get there, but it kind of started a conversation that we had. And then we've had some conversations actually with, there's been some conversation with Southeast Christian and all that kind of stuff. And that's, again, for another day, another story. So now, clearly, when you told your mom that you've already had the conversation with Barbara, so give us the story, Rachel, of going to tell Barbara? Did you have a strategy, or did it just kind of blurt out one moment? What was your thinking there?
I had been working on it, but it pretty much blurted out one moment. we had actually gone to bed one night, and it was coming up on my birthday, and I had planned to tell her, like, the day before my birthday, sit down with her and talk to her and everything, and this was probably about a week before, and so we laid down in bed, and it just got, it was working on me. Head was spinning. I was laying there in bed. I couldn't go to sleep. Just thinking about it, thinking how I was going to tell her and everything. And I finally, I had already brought myself to tears, just mm-hmm. thinking about it, how I was going to tell her, you know, and of course all the scenarios of how she's going to react are running through my brain.
Right.
And let me tell you, none of them were the way she reacted, because all of them were bad.
Yeah, right.
You know, the scenarios you lay out in your head when you're getting ready to tell somebody information like this, none of the scenarios are, oh, yes, it works out, and everything's happily ever after. You know, so I'm already crying, and I rolled over, and I told her, I've got to tell you something. And, of course, with me crying already and everything, her mind went to instantly, and she goes, "You're not divorcing me, are you?" And, of course, I said, "No, I don't. That's not what this is about. I don't want to divorce you. I want you to stay. But I said, you might want to divorce me after I tell you what I have." It took probably 10 minutes to come out and actually tell her. You know, I preface it as, you know, you know I'm cross-dressing. You know about this part of me. But that's not all. I said, you know, I'm still, this is not satisfying me. This doesn't, I was still having depression at the time and everything. And I told her, I said, this just doesn't satisfy me anymore. I need more. And I said, I plan to live the rest of my life as a woman. And silence.
Yeah.
It was silent for probably about a half hour. It seemed like about 3 days, but I think it was probably about a half hour before she said anything and everything. But that was a long night. We talked for quite a while. And, you know, really, at that point in time, you know, neither one of us knew what was going to happen. You know, she was having to deal with me being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things out of her mouth was, I'm going to be labeled as a lesbian. And, of course, out of my mouth came, who cares? But, you know, for her, it was a big deal.
Right.
And I can understand that now. I didn't at that point in time. I didn't understand a lot of her reaction at that point in time. And I think that's where therapists and counselors play a major role in our transitions.
Right.
So, you know, anybody that says, well, I don't have a therapist and I don't need one, you might not think you need one, but they sure are nice to be able to talk to and bounce some items off of. And they're the ones who can sit there and say, no, you're wrong. you're handling this wrong. And, you know, Barbara needs to have her emotions like that. And, you know, the way you're treating it is not right. And I've heard that more than once in counseling sessions. So,
yeah.
You know, I thought I had it all planned out. And, you know, come to find out, you know, we don't know everything.
Right, right. And that's the, so, so a lot of stuff. Barbara, when she told you, of course, you knew about the cross-dressing and stuff. So it's kind of like a real quick question, then I want to get to the really serious question, is when she was cross-dressing, did you have the fear that that would become more?
No, not really, because I didn't think ahead that
right.
this was anything new. I mean, was anything abnormal because of how she was feeling? The night she told me, just like she said, we cried and everything. But my thing on that is, I was scared for her. I was scared for her safety. When
right.
she first told me, it really bothered me because she was finally going out as a woman, and I was scared for her safety. And,
right.
You know, that's
what's a concern?
Really what bothered
me. It's still. There's times,
it.
Honestly. Like where I feel pretty safe where I live, but
yeah.
There's times that I'm walking when I go for my walk and stuff, my exercise. That I'm always aware that somebody could just not
right.
like the fact that I exist and want to harm me. And
right.
it's really kind of interesting is that. I'm almost on defensive mode, I'm not like scared, and it doesn't stop me from doing a lot of things, clearly, but it's like I'm very aware, I'm very sensitive to my surroundings and things like that. So there's no doubt there's
yeah.
a fear for that. So
yeah.
when she did tell you, as Rachel said, and of course it didn't go very well, of course there's the fear, there's the apprehension, there's like all these other things. What, at some point you finally come to accept it and everything, and I say all the time, it's almost like losing a person and gaining another person. Is that kind of like it is, what it's been like for you?
Yeah, it really has, because you have to go through a grieving process. That came from Rachel's therapist, my therapist, because you're losing someone that you had for so long, and now they're coming out to be somebody else. And so
right.
people who are out there are going through this type of thing, you know, don't cut on yourself, because you have to go through. It's like losing a part of you. And then once you get over that, it gets a little bit easier, because you start to understand what Rachel is telling me. And, you know, it's difficult, but it's manageable.
Right, right.
I never thought I would say that I would divorce her or anything, because I had no intentions. You know, even when she told me, you know, that night, I had no intentions of leaving her. And it's been, you know, a struggle sometimes, like she said, but all in all, we really get along pretty good.
Yeah.
And we can.
And we
yeah.
share the same wardrobe.
Yeah, we share the same clothes, so that's a plus. But it is weird going shopping with her.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I don't want to be what is the good word for it? Second guessing, not. I mean, Rachel, you're a bit taller than Barbara, so you can't be sharing too many things, I wouldn't think.
Top we do a lot. Bottom
yeah.
we don't.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
dresses we do.
Yeah. So it's kind of as you got through that process and things like that. So I guess things are pretty good now with you, Barbara. Any of those kind of things. Did you all see the movie? Barbara, did you see the movie Danish Girl?
No.
Okay.
No, I had to.
Yeah. Do you know what it's the storyline, of course, is Rachel, have you seen it?
No, I haven't. That's one of the movies
yeah.
we've talked about, just haven't got there yet.
Right. Yeah, the storyline, of course, is mostly because it's the technically, I guess, or way some people say it's the first surgery ever, and but it's dealing with a crossdresser that I think and decides that she needs to transition, wants to transition, not wants to. I think it's a need. It's just a fulfillment of becoming authentic, basically. But and dealing with the wife and the wife dealing with all that kind of stuff and the pain. And you're talking about the two of you and how difficult it is. And it is difficult, and it continues to be this difficulty. But imagine in the 1930s, I mean, we know for a fact there was no internet then, and there was not a support group like Sienna or Trans Women National that they could go to, or a therapist, or I don't know what they had and stuff, but they had to deal with all that by themselves, and the uncertainty and the bravery that they both had was pretty incredible, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have been really tough back then.
Yeah, right. So family, your family, Barbara, has accepted Rachel pretty good?
Yes. Especially mm-hmm. my dad.
Oh, well, cool.
He's 87 years
yeah.
old, and he has accepted her as Rachel, but he won't call her Rachel. He calls
oh, okay.
her by her other name.
Yeah.
And he's the only
calls
one
her by
that we allow.
What's that?
To do that. I said, he's the only one in all
yeah.
both our families and stuff that we allow to do that.
And every
yeah.
once in a while I'll get a Rachel out of him. And it's like, who are you talking to?
Yeah, that's funny. That's so funny.
It's just he doesn't want to learn another name.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, you know, that's the, it's like really interesting is that, I've thought about this off and on over the years, is like for people that have, like, I've got a friend of mine, and her name as a male, her birth name was Lee. And Lee can be a girl or a boy name, you know, those the Chris and the Lees, and there's like a, you know,
yeah.
a bunch of names that are kind of non-genderish names, gender-specific names. And so it becomes a situation where it's not about the name, or at least how you say it. She, I don't know if she spelled it the same way, maybe from L-E-E to L-E-I-G-H, but at least how you say it, Chris to Chris, or that type of thing. And so it gets to be, it's sometimes, and I say a lot of times, like older people, especially moms and dads, they're the ones that named you. And whether they can be fine with your transitioning, but not about to be real quick to call you something different than what they named you, even if it's the same.
Right.
I mean, I would think it would be the same thing as if you are a John and you want
yeah.
to change it to Frank.
Yeah.
So why
yeah.
would you want to do that? I gave you that name. How dare you?
Well, it took me quite a while, and I still slip every once in a while, but it took me
yeah.
a long time to get to where I could call her Rachel on a full-time basis, because I had had her for 17 years as another person. And so she was jumping on me because I couldn't remember to call her Rachel. And that's where the therapist came in handy that week I went with her. And, you know, the therapist said, Rachel, you got to give her some time. You know, she's going through grief and all that. And you got to give her some time because she didn't know Rachel. You know, even though you're the same person, she did not, you know, at that point, she didn't know who Rachel was. She knew about Richard.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is that, like, for me personally, is that I dealt with, most of us have similar stories, is I've pretty much been struggling with my gender identity not matching my gender expression for most, if not, well, I don't remember a time I did not think I should have been a girl. But so it's my whole life I've been struggling with this, and it took me a long time to accept it in myself. I mean, like 40 years to accept it in myself. And so for me to expect somebody to accept it in their perspective, and it's not in their head in 2 years or 3 years or whatever, is pretty going to be difficult to do.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And she's better at it when I slip now.
Yeah, yeah. She doesn't like cry or anything anymore.
No, and really the only times that it slips is if we're driving or something somewhere and she does something silly, like tailgate someone or whatever, and say, blank, stop doing that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's in my perspective, that's when I get to the old days.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Your instincts kick in.
My instinct would kick in, and, you know, that was the old way it was. And but now it's gotten to be where I really understand a lot about her. I understand about her friends. I talk to her friends. I'm not shy about talking. And I've just learned a lot through all this the last 4 years. And good things. Good things, not bad.
Right, right, right. Well, the old Native American approach, and again, all of the nations, the tribes, had different perspectives and stuff, but a lot of them had pretty much the concept is that to embrace the duality of genders is to be honored and that type of thing. And so, and I know we've had this conversation before, but it is my opinion that there's a divine nature to, now there's some trans people, I think there's a not so divine nature to them, but that's another story. But there's a divine nature to a duality type of gender. And and just for the fact is that we, most of us that transition late, because we lived a life of one gender, it's kind of difficult to get rid of aspects of that life, just because we lived that life. And so that automatically we have a gender identity, a female, but we lived a life of a male for so long that gives us kind of a, no matter where we are with our gender identity, kind of gives us a little bit of a duality of our genders. And so even if we transition. But so I think that there is a, and for people like yourself, Barbara, and I will say this, that and I've been around this community a long, long time, and it's rare, it's very, very rare for a cis woman, wife or girlfriend, but usually a wife, to stick around in that relationship during transitioning, because it is so difficult to do. And most of the time, if there is a relationship, it's after they transition, they develop a relationship with someone. And so it is very, very, very rare. But there are some people in this world, And this is the thing that I think is really, really special about our world, that we get to experience this and nobody else does. There are some people in this world that has the capacity to truly love the person, not the gender, and to truly love the spirit, the chemistry, the who that person is, whether it's John or Jane, and to struggle through that visual part of it. That's really, that's all it is. It's really not necessarily a person change. It's just a visual change.
Right.
And those are special people, and that's you. I mean, you're for your ability, it shows really your character. It shows your ability to see through gender and see the true person, and I admire that.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. And it's been go ahead.
I think one of the things that has helped us through all this is she's always gone to all my doctor's appointments as far as my transitioning appointments.
Mm-hmm.
So she understands everything that's going on too firsthand,
mm-hmm.
where I'm
mm-hmm.
not coming home and saying, well, yeah, I'm taking this now. Well, how come? Well, the doctor gave it to me.
Right.
You know, because that's not good enough for her. She wants to know what it's going to do, what it's going to act like, and everything else. So, you know, we've been to all the doctor's appointments together. She knows exactly what I'm taking, what it's going to do, you know, side effects, the whole gamut.
Mm-hmm.
And I think including her in all that has helped, you know, to make her understand a little bit more about it also.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good observation, because I think it's, and we've talked about, you, Rachel, you and I have talked about that a little bit, is that with other situations, is that when they don't, then there is a certain amount of lack of growth between each other and everything. So that's a good point.
I think communication
has
to be, I think communication has got to be the number one thing that you should make sure that stays open during this transition and thereafter.
Right.
Is just talk about things.
Yeah.
You know, I may not like it. She may not like what I have to say, but, you know, keep it open.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the most important. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else, like anything that you all have learned that could give advice to other married couples, or that's similar to like a trans woman and a cis woman that's in a relationship? Any advice that you can give other than open communication, including in everything? Anything else that you can think of?
Well, I think too is I just lost my train of thought.
It's okay.
Oh, I know what it was now. That on the wife's side of it, the woman who's finding out this is happening, she needs to be patient, just like the transition person needs to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got, mm-hmm. both of you got to have patience, because you're going to go through different emotions. And luckily, they'll stay and, you know, and be happy with what Rachel is, and, you know, go from there and not have that many problems. But you have to make sure you have patience and understanding, and then communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, Holly, one of the things that I do is, of course, I have my therapist, and probably about every fourth time that I go to my therapist, I'll take Barbara along with me.
Yeah,
and
that's a good idea.
You know, if Barbara has any questions, or if the therapist has seen anything that I'm doing, you know, that I've talked about the last couple times, that, you know, she needs to touch base with Barbara. You know, it allows us to iron out anything that we may have going on. Sometimes we don't even see it, you know.
Right.
I'll go in and say something, you know, and you know, when I take Barbara the next time, you know, she'll go, well, you know, 2 times ago you said this, and is this problem resolved now? And it's like,
right.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, no, we never really resolved it. We just pushed it to the back. So, you know, we get things out in the open that way. I think just having your spouse be part of it.
Right.
You know, if you don't, and, you know, transition is a very personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't allow them in during the transition period, all you're doing is asking to push them away. And, you know, we work with, me and Barbara work with couples that are transitioning. And, you know, that's one of the things we tell them, you know, is keep communications open. You know, let each other know what's going on. Because, I mean, you know, Barbara could be mulling over something, and I'd never know it if she didn't tell me.
Right, right.
So, you know, and it may be a little thing, it may be a big thing. But if little things go unchecked, it can turn into a big thing. So, you know, just communication's probably the biggest thing out of everything.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, let's shift gears real quick. Again, if we got a few more minutes, we want to finish up here. If anybody wants to ask Rachel or Barbara, or myself, questions, 914-205-5655. I had to not do it the southern way. I usually go 205-5655. And I get a kick out of that all the time. I when you live by yourself, you have to find humor where you can find it. And so, Monday nights, I get a kick out of how I say 5-5. But anyway. So, Rachel, you've been involved in a community, LGBT community effort. Tell the listeners a little bit more about that, please.
Yeah, we actually named it on the last meeting, Louisville One.
Cool.
And this is an effort to bring all the LGBT nonprofit organizations in the city of Louisville together, along with, we're hoping to get the churches involved that are LGBT friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be rolling out fairly soon a website with a calendar on it for all the nonprofits here in Louisville for an event calendar. So anybody in Louisville will be able to go to Louisville One and see who's got fundraisers or events going on, where they're at, what they're about, and also allow each organization to help work together and increase the ability to people to get to the right organization to help them.
Right.
So
that's really good.
We had about 10 organizations represented in our first meeting. We have another meeting for next month, and we are reaching out. We have good names and email addresses now for a lot of the other people that weren't there to send out specifically to the leaders of those groups to see if they want to join in. The response we got was wonderful. People very excited. People wanting to help, wanting to get involved. So I think it's going to be a real good effort.
Yeah, sounds really, really good. I think that's really important. And then the calendar is really something, it's actually something I was working on for a while, and I've kind of stopped because it does take such an effort of multiple people. But I think it's really, because Facebook, sometimes we think Facebook is the end all for all things. And Facebook is a pretty decent place for events, but it's not very inclusive. And a lot of people don't put events there because there's like repeated events and there's all kinds of stuff. And having one place where you can go and find hopefully like, if not all, almost all of the events is really good. That would be a big help.
Well, one of our problems here in Louisville is with having, 10 different events on the same weekend.
Right.
On the same day. And, I mean, you want to go to all of them, but mm-hmm. you can't be in places at the same time. So we're talking about doing events together or scheduling around other events so everybody can get to all these events.
Which I think will make a big difference. Oh yeah,
and
definitely.
Yeah. And plus be able to have bigger events because, three organizations go in on it and have a big event, bring out more people and everything. So I think it'll be good.
Yeah. And that's something that, of course, we've at Trans Women National have done a couple times, and you see it's been done. One of the things that I've seen in this community is one of the things that's grown. In fact, I think the sisters have been the beginning of that. They're really good at collaborating with other groups and doing events together. And I think it's just something that really is really cool about what's happening into our community as we're doing joint events and that type of thing. So it's really good.
And I think, they'll be on board. In fact, they were one of the groups that weren't there the other night, but they had a rollout the other night on some other stuff. So they were at an event themselves. Hence the thing,
right.
We need a calendar.
Exactly.
But so I think once we get everybody on board, this thing will take off and run. So
yeah, fantastic, cool. Well, I'm gonna wrap it up here a little bit. And
okay, Holly, I want to say one thing.
Let me
about another organization.
Yeah, let you hold that a second.
Okay,
But I'm gonna throw out this question that I ask all my guests, and I haven't asked you all yet. So I want Barbara to answer this. And so while you're telling the more information, I want Barbara to think about the answer. So the question is, if you can have dinner with any two people, living or dead, who would that be? Any two people, they can be alive or they can be dead. Who would that be and why? So, Barbara, that's going to be your question after Rachel gives us the information on the organizations.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say I also work with PFLAG.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how many people in this area don't know that PFLAG exists. PFLAG.
Right.
Is a organization for family members of LGBT people, and that includes husbands or wives of transgender, mm-hmm. parents of transgender. I try and make all the meetings for PFLAG. We also have one of our other officers tests on the board at PFLAG. So normally one of us is there all the time, and it is amazing how many parents of transgender kids are coming, and they have no idea what is going on with their child, no idea how to handle it. And I get as much satisfaction out of helping at PFLAG that I do helping with trans women. I mean, it's so good to see when a parent comes in, they're crying as they tell their story, and we can talk to them, and they leave with some information and where to find more information. They also leave with
my phone number, is incredible.
My email address, everything to get in touch with me. So anytime they have a problem, and I think that support for parents is a big thing. And the people that say, well, all these transgender kids, you know, are coming out like that because their parents are pushing them. That's not true, because the parents have no idea what the kids are going through, and they're looking for answers. So, I highly recommend if you're a parent or family member of somebody that is LGBT and you need answers, check PFLAG out. There's a local group here in Louisville, and there are chapters all across the country.
Yeah, it is. I agree. PFLAG is one of the, we've got a lot of nice organizations, but PFLAG is one of the really, really good quality organizations that's doing some really good work. And that's, so we were talking the other day, is that our relationship with PFLAG over the years have been really important, and we've continued to have this relationship with them because that connection with the T of the parents that get in there. So your work with them is gigantic and has been very helpful for those people. So that's really, really good. All right. So Barbara, who are the two people?
Okay. I would probably pick Rachel as one.
Okay.
And the other one would be my mom, who passed away a week after Rachel and I got married back in 96.
Wow.
And
I'm sorry.
I still hurt for her today.
Yeah.
You know, I still miss her and still think about her all the time. And if I had the chance, I'd probably have dinner with her.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool. As long as she what?
Cooks it.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing like your mama's cooking, that's for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, so actually what we need to do is have that dinner with the three of you, you, Rachel, and your mom. That would be, I want to be a fly on that wall.
Yeah. Oh, mom would have things to say, I'm afraid.
I'm sure.
She wouldn't hold anything back. But she'd love her just like I do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good. Well, I appreciate you two being on the show tonight, and as always, a pleasure to spend time with you both, and look forward to even more time. And again, if anybody is listening, if they want to send any kind of comments or anything our way, they can do that at transwomennational.org whenever they want to contact us and stuff.
So that is the show for this evening. I hope you enjoyed it, and you will come back soon.
Who is that person? Who's talking? I'm in a hurry. Rachel and I, we were talking the other day. I like to try to make this show as an hour, but I clicked the wrong button. I wasn't like trying to say, hey, get out of here. So anyway, so those are listening, it looks like Trans Women National Radio will shut down probably a break. I'm not sure if it's going to be forever. I mean, this is the second or third time I've done a show and stuff. And so, of course, I've been doing this since 2010. I've done 105 shows. So that's, 6 years-ish in June. If I did a show every every week, you're talking about hundreds of shows. So clearly I haven't done one every week. So anyway, it's going to shut down. I think I have to shut down by the 20th. So probably would mean that maybe by the 21st I can do two more shows and then finish it up at that point and everything. So, again, it's going to be a break. In fact, there's a couple other ideas that we have that I've got in mind to do something similar to this. But it's for those that are listening, it just, quite honestly, I love doing this show. It's really, really good. It's been a very rewarding for me. But it is a costly experience for financial and for time. And so, and at this situation, it looks like Julie is going to branch out and do her own show. So, so at this point, I think I'm just going to shut it down at the billing cycle, which is, I think, is the end of the month, like the 24th. So I think we have two more weeks after this. So anyway, it's bittersweet, but it just means that I can relax and watch stupid TV on Monday nights instead of get on this amazing radio show. So, but I appreciate both of you being on, and we'll see you, I guess, maybe Wednesday night. You all going to be there Wednesday night?
I won't. I'll be over at my daughter's house.
Okay.
And you know where I'll be. I'll be in the chill.
So anyway, those are listening, if you're from the Louisville area, you're going to be in the Louisville area every Wednesday night from about 6 o'clock to about 9:30, 10 o'clock-ish, depends on how exhausted we are. We meet at Chill Bar for a ladies' night out, but it's open to anyone. You just got to be 21 or over since it is a bar. And we've had some great crowds, and it's really a lot of fun. We get talking goofy and stupid and serious and funny and all kinds of type of things. And the only sane person of the bunch of us is Barbara, and she looks at me sometimes like, did you just really say that? So, but anyway, it's good talking to you both, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, Ollie. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. All right, that was Rachel and Barbara Leiter, two good friends, two very important people in our community, and they've done a lot of really good things for us, and they continue to do that. So that's it for the show, and I hope you enjoy the show. Again, as I say all the time, is it does help that you give us some feedback and contact us. If you wanted the show to exist, you could give us like a couple $100 and that would pay for the year. I'm just kidding. But again, I'm probably going to shut it down, probably one or two more shows, but at least by the 21st would probably be the last show if I do anything on that day. So that is it with Prism Radio, and I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think, and we will talk to you soon. I'm probably going to play this closing. I was going to play the closing before, but since it talks about some other things, I'm not going to do that. So, and you probably have wondered, I'm going to go ahead and explain this. You probably have wondered what the deal is with Over the Rainbow. And I've explained that in some previous shows. But when I owned my company, Prism Direction, I had Prism Radio, I had Prism TV, I had Prism Magazine, which I've just brought that back again, and some other things. And the thinking was the theme, and I had pictures of Wizard of Oz and the Emerald City and stuff. And basically, the thinking is that transitioning is a journey, kind of like to the Emerald City, to the Wizard of Oz, And of course, it's all fantasy in the, on the TV show, and it's a dream and all that kind of stuff. But generally speaking, the concept of going through the yellow brick road, and there's all kinds of things that are dangerous in getting around there. And you can only do it with your friends. And a lot of times, as you take this journey through to the Emerald City to find your way home with these friends, and you find yourself stronger than you thought you ever were, and you just take a step at a time. And that's pretty much the witch said, follow the yellow brick road. Is she had to take that first step with her ruby slippers and everything. And so the example, the analogy is in that. So I've stuck with Over the Rainbow as far as theme music and stuff like that. So I know that probably you don't appreciate it as much as I do, but it is something that I've continued to really like about that. Of course, as a kid growing up with Over the Rainbow, it's always been kind of a memory for me and stuff. So anyway, as I ramble, I can hear Judy singing. And by the way, could she just sing as a little kid? She was amazing. So with that said, I'm going to turn it up here a little bit and let you finish with Judy singing Over the Rainbow, and we will talk to you soon. Good night.
Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where